252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Mona Kosarabdi. A week later, rescuers are still searching for survivors in the rubble of the earthquake in Turkey and Syria, while deaths continue to rise.
Oh, we need power right.
ABC's Marcus Moore in Turkey.
The death toll now has topped 36,000. And not only did this powerful earthquake topple buildings, but it also destroyed roadways. This is one of the reasons why it was difficult to get aid to some of the rural areas. And as the search efforts continue across this region, frustration is mounting.
Turkey set up an earthquake crimes bureau to track down contractors and construction managers of the buildings that collapsed. More than 100 warrants have been issued. The military's looking more closely into four flying objects shot down over the U.S. and Canada over the past 8 days. The latest one yesterday over Michigan's Lake Huron. The State Department urging Americans to leave Russia immediately as the country's invasion of Ukraine approaches the one-year mark. This is ABC News. COVID has hit the Alec Murdoch double murder trial, two jurors testing positive, alternate jurors replacing them. The trial is now in week four. The disbarred South Carolina attorney charged with killing his wife and son. A new study finds more American teenage girls are sad.
New CDC data says nearly 3 in 5 teen girls felt persistently sad or hopeless in 2021. That's a 60% increase in the highest level reported in a decade. The report also finding more than half of LGBTQ plus students recently experienced poor mental health, with more than 1 in 5 attempting suicide in the last year. More school-based activities said to be a solution, calling schools a vital lifeline to help struggling youth. If suicidal thoughts are affecting you or someone you know, call or text 988, the new suicide and crisis lifeline for help. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
A nationwide general strike in Israel today amid a controversial government plan to revamp the nation's legal system. Tens of thousands of demonstrators chanting outside parliament. Mona Kosarabdi, ABC News.
From Green Bay to Oshkosh and Point South, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained, this is Civic Media.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Expect more state money to go to local communities in Wisconsin to cover their public safety costs. Milwaukee Democrat Lena Taylor and Racine Republican Van Wongard were on the Upfront TV program yesterday. They both say they expect an agreement on shared revenue. Taylor and Wongard say the sticking point will be exactly how the money can be spent. Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate Dan Kelly is turning up his attacks on conservative rival Jennifer Durrow. At a Republican Party event in the Madison area last week, Kelly again said he would not commit to endorsing Durrow if she wins the primary. He went on to question her conservative bona fides and even her understanding of the law. The primary is a week from tomorrow. In sports, ESPN reports the New York Jets are asking the Packers about trading for quarterback Aaron Rodgers. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Go by any construction site in Wisconsin, you're going to see a lot of Michael's trucks. Since 2014, they've had more than $1 billion worth of contracts with the state government.
A large part of those coming with Foxconn without any results in that area.
Do we want a governor who might be giving his brothers the contract? I think he needs to answer that before the election.
We'll just kick that one down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But of course, Michael's corporation would get to build that said bridge.
Listen, Monday through Friday from 2 to 3, it's Dueling Tangents.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Wasn't reminded of Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Wasn't reminded of Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
That
was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Mom was always very organized.
But my sister and I noticed she started to forget things.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
My sister and I were there for Mom and each other.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
News and talk up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. Civic Media.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
You must hate trying to converse with me then, because all I do is text.
And that's why I call you.
Jay is a forager of funny tunes that are tangentially connected to the topic at hand. Just never turn Civic Media off.
Just have us on,
all the time. Tell Alexa, just keep it going.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the noon hour, the lunch hour of the show. We have a great show, great hour lined up at 12:30. Carrie Spivak and Daphne Chen, who are investigative reporters for Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, are going to be joining us to talk about a report that they put out last month that was on a landlord you probably haven't heard of before. And it's someone who had over 700 different units by the time he did retire, but 6,800 different claims filed as far as bad environments and evictions and everything. And so we are going to be talking to them about that report and kind of just the underbelly of bad landlords in Milwaukee and what that can do to a neighborhood, what that can do to a community. And so I'm very much looking forward to that. But now we are joined by Arnold. Say your last name for me, Arnold. Syfax. Hold on. Are we up? Great. Arnold Syfax. Great to meet you.
Good to meet you as well.
And so I'm very excited to talk about this because Jane and I have had a couple different guests here to talk about human trafficking in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You are the first man that we have had on to talk about human trafficking and sex trafficking. And that is because you are actually involved in a program called, is it pronounced HEMAD?
HEMAD.
HEMAD. And so tell everyone what HEMAD is.
HEMAD stands for Human Trafficking Education to Men and Boys for the purpose of eradicating the demand for traffickers to pull women, boys, girls, just everyone.
And so it, as a campaign, mm-hmm. how does it work? Is it advertisements? Is it how are you reaching men?
Good question. HEMAD is actually under the auspices of the Conversions Resource Center, which is a center that's geared towards assisting women to get back on track after they have left prison. It actually helps them as well with trauma. And it's kind of a trauma center for women that have been trafficked as well as women that are transitioning. With this organization, Dr. Debbie Lassiter and myself and several others came up with the idea of creating something to educate men on this, because we don't have a lot of men involved in this, because it's not really seen as a tremendously big issue on that end. But we have found that it is a tremendous issue. And the issues are because we're unaware that sex trafficking, it's not, let me put it this way. Some believe that, like in Vegas, there is sex being offered, okay? And that's a business. We're not talking about women that are involved in things like that. We're talking about those who have been coerced or forced into this, those that are under the age of 16 that are told they have to do this, and their trafficker kind of romances them, or they might push them into doing this. And it's usually hitting people who are in terrible situations, like runaways or people who are destitute. And sometimes those that are coming over from other countries and they don't have any other way, and they're being tricked into it. And then there are those that are just extremely vulnerable in nice areas. Okay. It's not always, you know, the terrible areas where you're pulling people out of there, but this is happening everywhere. It's happening here in Wisconsin in all 72 counties. And because of that, we wanted to get the word out, not only to just boys and girls in high schools and things of that nature, but also to men that are out there, realizing that this is a multi-billion dollar organization.
And because, you know, as we come off the heels of the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. I think one thing a lot of people don't realize is the amount of human trafficking that goes into supplying
people
in Arizona yesterday. And so mm-hmm. your partner, Debbie, was there, right?
Yes, she was there along with several others, the Daughters of Destiny, I believe. I can't really think of the name of the organization, but they have kind of gathered together to go out there to do just that. And what they do is find people who have been placed in this that really want to get out and have no other way. So they have a collaboration not only with the officers that are there, but also with the FBI. And what they try to do is find ways of getting them safely away from their traffickers. And they have been successful over the years. Super Bowl is a time for, you know, celebrating this fighting or this battle of men out there on the field. And it seems like the game, who wins, who loses, is really the big piece. But the reality is, any type of activity that involves a large group of people, you're going to have traffickers there as well. Traffickers are not your pimps with the big hats and the high heel shoes, okay? Traffickers are the ones in business suits, because it's a multi-billion dollar business, and they are selling girls, boys, kids. And some of the biggest transactions take place at events like the Super Bowl.
Yeah. We're talking to Arnold Syfax, who is a board member and leader of HEMAD, of the HEMAD campaign, which asks men to take a stand against human trafficking. And so how did you find yourself involved in this?
Well, this is really interesting, because I've been working with Dr. Debbie Lassiter with her organization for years, and just trying to assist, trying to help, trying to find financing to assist her in helping women that are transitioning, and to also help them with trauma and things of that nature. So being on the board was kind of a plus, because I can talk with philanthropic organizations that have the same mindset. And ideally, we want to be more of an upstream thinker, to find ways of not waiting for the problem to happen, but finding ways of trying to cure it. With that in mind, she thought this HEMAD piece would be great to educate men, and she wanted a face for that, that was not a woman, so that we can actually go in there as men, as males, face to face, you know, just clear. I'm really trying to watch my words here.
Well, you can't curse, but otherwise we're pretty loose here.
sometimes men will see this as that's really, not to say that it's a woman's thing, but I don't believe the push is as strong, woman to man, and maybe it's the society that we live in, maybe it's because of where we are, but man to man, I can go no holds bar on them, you know, and tell them, okay, this is serious and this is why. It hit me back then when I first got involved with this, when HEMAD first became an actual program, when I began to think about my own children, my grandchildren, my aunts, my uncles, and their kids, and just women in general, because I thought it was strictly women that have been trafficked. Well, I come to find out that it's not just women, but it's also men, It's also boys. It's also girls. It's a lot of people. And yeah. everyone is hit by this in every neighborhood, in every county. And it doesn't make a difference, again, if you're in the suburbs and in rural areas. Everywhere it's being hit. And what we're trying to do is to educate men on what to look for and to have them take a pledge to say that if I see something, I'm going to say something. But also to give them education if they want to go a little bit deeper to find out, so how do I recognize this? How do I see these things? And what exactly is involved in the education of human trafficking? And so with that, we kind of encourage men, and we don't get an awful lot of men jumping on board to say, I need a deep dive in this. But we do get some, and the some that we do get, they're on the ground, and they're moving, and they're letting their peers know, and their circles. And so we've hit well over 12 different states, 4 different countries. We just had another country give us a call to say, we'd like to do this as well. We started off trying to get about, you know, 300 or 400 people to take this pledge. It ended up on the first day that we did that, we got 3,000 men to take the pledge. Wow. We went from there the following year. We wanted to double it. We got 6,000 men to take the pledge. And to date, as of today, we have over 65,000 men who have taken this pledge in 7 different, 4 different countries, 12 different states, and it's still growing. It's still growing.
Because the goal originally was 75,000. So you moved the goalpost.
So we haven't hit that just yet, but we are still moving for that 75,000. Hasn't gotten there just yet, but it's not just for November kickoff. It's all year round. It has moved from being a particular campaign to being a movement.
Yeah.
And this movement, the importance of it is to make change, is to get those who are able to make the change hear us. And, of course, that comes through numbers. That yeah. comes through men taking that pledge and us going to say, hey, listen, we've got over 65,000 men that have taken this pledge. We need to really make some moves on strengthening some policies, making some things a little bit easier, and understanding that this is here, and it's not just out there. It's not next door or should I say down the street. It is next door.
Yeah.
You know, and it could be in your house or in your family, and you just may not be aware of it. Again, trafficking has to do with coercion and force. It doesn't have to do with someone saying, I want to do this, and it's hitting the LGBTQ community. It's hitting runaways. It's hitting everyone.
Absolutely.
And so we want to let men know that we can have a part in this.
So we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I know Jane has a question, but I also want to hear more about what that education actually looks like,
mm-hmm.
and how, in your experience so far, how men are receiving it.
Okay.
As far as if there's a little bit of denial at first or kind of what that's like. But mm-hmm. our guest this segment is Arnold Syfax, who is a board member and leader of the HEMAD campaign, which asks men to take a stand against human trafficking. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
What we got is beyond all that. You know we got that real thing. Gonna be the object of some hating. But we gonna be all right. We gonna be all right. Making love after every fight. Girl, from the day I put that ring up on your hand, in front of friends and fam, I had a plan. And my plan is to be a good man, good man. Good as all I wanna be. Yeah. Son of me, baby. Son of me. Said I wanna be a good man, good man. Good as all I wanna be. Said it's all I wanna be, baby. All I wanna be. Oh, oh, la la.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crudités at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were crudy takes.
Crudies takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast. Clear skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 43. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Clear skies and quiet again tonight. Lows dip down to about 30. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely. High temperatures reach up to 48. A dusting of snow Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 39.
You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Madnair. We are talking to Arnold Syfax, who is the board member and leader of HEMAD Campaign, which asks men to take a stand against human trafficking. And Jane, I know you had a question.
I do. Arnold, I can only imagine that there's some kind of pushback because there have to be some men who believe that they're I'm paying for this.
She's saying that there's men who give pushback because they're saying I'm paying for this.
She wouldn't do this if she didn't want to do it, or he wouldn't do this if he wouldn't want to do it. It's a business transaction. We're all adults here. Everything is fine. How do you address that with these men who want to push back against the fact that some of these people are being forced to do this?
Well, generally, we try to let them know that this is not like a legal thing. If you go to your bachelor party or whatever, and you have these women coming over and they pay XYZ dollars for this, for them to come and do their lap dance or whatever else, letting them know that there are some women that are in this and they were not forced or coerced to be involved in this. What I'm speaking to are those women who have been coerced and forced into this lifestyle. They have traffickers that have told them that this is what you need to do. So what I try to explain to men is that we're not talking about legal. We're talking about the illegal women and men that are involved in this, that have been forced into this by whatever reason, and regardless of the circumstances, that it is not right. And to express to them and let them know that these people that are involved in sex trafficking, they could very well be part of your own family. And trying to really express to them that it is important that we recognize that this is an evil. This is a travesty. This is something that is not a good thing. And yeah, I know I've heard men say, hey, well, we've paid our money to have this person come over and to do this, that, and the other. And I don't want to say that's fine, but I will say if that's a legitimate organization that's doing this, we need to do a deeper dive to find out, okay, are these people being trafficked? We just need to be in the mindset that the possibility is there that these are not people that are willing participants in this act. And so that is kind of what I try to give to men give some pushback on it, just to let them know that this is a travesty. It is a crime.
And so with that, what are some, as far as the education goes, because I'm sure there's more than we can cover in the next 5 minutes. But what are some of the signs that you tell men to look for as far as being able to be alert and aware of someone who might be there by force, whether that's physical, mental, psychological, or someone who is there who's as a sex worker, or someone who's there because this is their job?
In most cases, you're going to see some signs of bruises. You're going to see some signs in their character that might reflect not just shyness, but paranoia. I mean, there are a variety of things to look for, and without getting too deep in the weeds, we try to bring those that really want to know into the office to give them that full training, because there are different types of traffickers. You need to know what kind of trafficker is trafficking this person, and that will reflect why they respond certain ways. If you see an older man and a young girl out somewhere, and it seems like there's something that's not quite right, we don't say jump over there, get involved, and start questioning. We say keep an eye on it, and if it looks like something that may be, you know, off kilter, there are some numbers that you can call. There are some places that you can contact, and the hotline that's out there, you can call them and say, well, I am suspicious of this particular act because it doesn't look right, it doesn't sound right. And I'm not talking about grandpa out with his niece. I'm talking about something that might look a little bit different. And there are some things that we try to educate them on a face-to-face if they want to get a little bit deeper. Of course, I can't tell you everything to look for because we're not the only ones listening, right? Trust me, traffickers are listening as well. Like, okay, so what are they looking for? So we need to not do that because they're going to know this. So it's kind of difficult to really give you this is what you look for over the radio. It would be a lot easier on a face-to-face, or you can actually go to the site, or you can send an email also to the Conversions Resource Center site. When you go to the Conversions Resource Center site and go right under HEMAD, you can actually email myself or the administrator that takes care of the emails and ask those hard questions and even ask for what to look for. If I have seen something, you know, in my neighborhood that doesn't look right, this is what you can do. These are the numbers you can call.
Absolutely. And so where, with the minute that we have left, what's the website that people should go to? And we'll put it in today's show notes as well.
You should go to conversionsresourcecenter.org, and it's spelled completely out, no spaces. And then you can go right to HEMAD, which is on that site as well. You hit that. And then we encourage all men to take that pledge that's on there.
You're only 10,000 away from the goal.
Right. And if they want to take that pledge, they can do that online, or I can read it real quick and they can raise their hand right while I'm speaking, and you can insert your name. You can say, I and your name pledge to eradicate or to educate men on the importance of ending human trafficking. We of HEMED pledge to work to eradicate the business of human trafficking for our women, our men, and for the world. It is my duty not to stand by and let the industry of human trafficking benefit off the backs of the innocent. Therefore, I pledge my heart, my body, my mind, my soul, my spirit to eradicate an industry that seeks to destroy life rather than build it up.
Well, here to that. Arnold Syfax, thank you so much for joining us today. This is very enlightening. We will put all of that information in today's notes. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Always stay humble and kind.
Fox Valley, regional and state news and commentary. For us to find common ground, Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Mona Kosarabdi. A week later, rescuers are still searching for survivors in the rubble of the earthquake in Turkey and Syria, while deaths continue to rise. ABC's Marcus Moore in Turkey.
The death toll now has topped 36,000. And not only did this powerful earthquake topple buildings, but it also destroyed roadways. This is one of the reasons why it was difficult to get aid to some of the rural areas. And as the search efforts continue across this region, frustration is mounting.
Turkey set up an earthquake crimes bureau to track down contractors and construction managers of the buildings that collapsed. more than 100 warrants have been issued. The military's looking more closely into four flying objects shot down over the U.S. and Canada over the past 8 days. The latest one yesterday over Michigan's Lake Huron. The State Department urging Americans to leave Russia immediately as the country's invasion of Ukraine approaches the one-year mark. This is ABC News.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The jets that shot down the unidentified object over Lake Huron yesterday came from Madison. The F-16s belong to the Minnesota Air National Guard, but happen to be at Truax Field. It's the third time in as many days an unidentified object was shot down by U.S. forces in North American airspace. The object was spotted flying over Wisconsin for a time this weekend. The F-16s destroyed the object about 15 miles off Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Wisconsin election officials are testing voting machines before next week's primary election. A public voting machine test was held in Madison Saturday to give voters confidence in the system. Wisconsin voters will narrow the field of state Supreme Court candidates to two a week from tomorrow. Early voting for the primary is open through Sunday. In sports, ESPN reports the New York Jets are asking the Packers about trading for quarterback Aaron Rodgers. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold, 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003, 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown. Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Circle Kennel Club reminds you, have your pet spayed or neutered. Get regular checkups and vaccinations. Be sure your pet always has fresh water and never leave a pet unattended during extreme temperature weather. Proper care, diet, and grooming will ensure your pet a long, healthy life. This message is from Circle Kennel Club, located at 1040 Circle Drive in Green Bay. You can give them a call at 920-429-2300. Visit online at CircleKennelClub.com. That's CircleKennelClub.com. Check them out on Facebook. They're urging all pet lovers to neuter or spay.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on Oshkosh Air Support WISS and the Talk of Green Bay WGBW.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. A Shiro's day is never done. So let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit AsiaRetirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Price on my soul. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. No matter where you're listening across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, thank you for spending your lunch hour with us. And a quick reminder that if you miss any part of today's show, you can always listen to it as a podcast, which you can find at asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, etc. And so moving on to our guest this half hour. So last month, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel published an investigative report on a landlord who over 20 years became the second largest evictor in the city. He racked up roughly 6,800 building code violations and prompted multiple lawsuits and complaints to state and local officials. But what they also expose is that this isn't an isolated case. And so here to talk more about the impact of landlords, that they what they can do to communities, our guests this half hour are Daphne Chen, who is a data and investigations reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Carrie Spivak, who is an investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who focuses on white-collar crime, gambling, landlords, slumlords, and other issues. Welcome to the show, guys.
Good to be here.
So I guess let's start with the focal point of the report. Who is Curtis Hoff?
Curtis Hoff is a name that a lot of people didn't know before last month. Yep. Even somebody like Carrie, who has been reporting on landlords in Milwaukee for a very long time. He is the former owner of Anchor Properties and the group of LLCs that owned hundreds of properties across Milwaukee, mostly in Black neighborhoods and low-income neighborhoods. And it's the company that sort of quietly amassed this rental empire and became the second largest evictor in the city. But very much a low-key person here in Milwaukee.
And that was what was wild reading the report, is despite these 6,800 building code violations and other lawsuits, that when you guys started reporting on this, Mayor Johnson didn't even know who he was, despite, and he was on common council for how long, as far as no one knew him.
Yeah, that actually was somewhat surprising. You'd think the mayor and former alderman would know who he is. He was known by the building inspectors. We knew who he was. But he didn't get a lot of publicity because he had some other, albeit smaller, slumlords who were getting more attention, like Mohammed Chowdhury and Elijah Muhammad Rashid. Maybe their stuff was more outrageous, but for whatever reason, they were getting more publicity. And Barada, of course, I don't know if we'd call him a slumlord, but he has 8,000 to 9,000 units. So, and he was growing at a, and still is growing at an amazing pace. So all that allowed Hoff to kind of remain in the shadows. And Hoff never went out of his way to get out of the shadows. He didn't even name the company after himself. He used the A names for, well, the reason he used that, as we noted, was back in the day, if you were in eviction court, they would call the companies by alphabetical order of the plaintiffs. So that's why he came up with Anchor, Aardvark, et cetera. But overall, he was just pretty low key. He's not big on the social scene, not big politically, and just kept out of the way. He kept, you know, and did that until we really wrote him up, which unfortunately was after he sold his stuff, though.
I know that is, and now is retired in Phoenix in an almost $1 million house, which is also infuriating. But so paint the picture, because I think, Carrie, was this one of the days I feel like I was in the newsroom and you were just explaining having gone to one, I don't know if it was one of his or just a unit in general, as far as being in some of these apartments and how like the inhumane condition that they were in.
Oh, yeah, some of them are just awful. You'll see, you know, the torn windows and screens, and, you know, it might be a second story or third story, and there could be little kids there, holes in the walls. You may not have hot water, outlets that don't work, or then you'll see, Daphne knows this better than I do, they'll overload the outlets, which is causing a fire hazard. Fire alarms that may or may not be there. There was one, this was a Hoff unit that we went to where you had two units. And if I remember right, if both doors open, it blocked off one unit from escaping, which would be god awful in a fire. You kind of get hardened after seeing it so much, but still it's, you know, it's pretty bad. I mean, it's just, there's no other way to describe it.
I mean, obviously, yeah, Carrie, you've been doing this for years, but Daphne, was it something for, I mean, you've also been doing this for, because you wrote a report back in 2021 as far as being a part of the investigative team with the taxpayers basically funding slumlords to not fit, that like causing electrical fires and not fixing some of these things. And so have you grown accustomed yet to having to see some of these awful conditions, or is it still something that's a little shocking to walk into?
No, and thanks for mentioning that, because it's a great testament to all the reporting on landlords that a lot of reporters here do really well, the Journal Sentinel. But yeah, like it still was really shocking to see these conditions, especially when children, little children are living in these conditions. And you really get the sense that whoever is, you know, renting these out really does not care to make it habitable or safe. Because we're talking about like giant holes on the porch. Porches, you know, moms describing having to pull kids off of porches and say, you can't play there because you're going to fall and hurt yourself. You know, we've had women talk about having their PTSD triggered because they can't sleep at night because of the sounds of how many rodents there are scrabbling around in the walls. You know, moms crying, like starting to cry while they interview with us and just walking onto the porch so that their kids don't see them. The conditions and how dangerous they were and the effect that they had on the families was really stark to see.
We're talking to Daphne Chen and Carrie Spivak, investigative reporters from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, on their reporting on landlords, specific landlord Curtis Hoff, but also landlords in general who are exploitative? Is that the right word to use as far as how, or predatory? And so can you explain a little bit more about the cycle of both the demographics and the cycle of people who find themselves living in not only anchor properties, but there are, I mean, I think what part of this report was also listing out the 25 top evictors in Milwaukee. And what are some of the reasons why people you've interviewed can't get out of this cycle of living in a slumlord's apartment?
Well, one, you just mentioned the evictions. These guys do not charge cheap rent. People are paying $800, $1,200 for a rental. And you can go in a lot of other neighborhoods and get a much nicer place for the same money. But if you've been evicted, it makes it very tough for you to find a new place. Even if you've been evicted, sued for eviction, and won the case, and you were not evicted, unless you get the judge to take that your name to seal the record, that eviction stays on your record. Landlords routinely go to CCAP, and they check before they'll rent to you whether you have any evictions. A lot of landlords will not rent to you if you have an eviction. Hoff and some others will rent to you. And they kind of got you locked because you have an eviction. You know it's going to be very tough for you to move out. Maybe you'll complain about the hole in the wall or this and that, and they don't come running out to fix it. But what are you going to do? You can't find another place because you have that eviction hanging over your head. And yeah. That stays on, I believe, for 2 years unless you get the judge to dismiss it.
And just to clarify, it is even in the case where the eviction doesn't go through, but even the attempt to evict you goes on your record.
And that's all they look at. They don't open up the file. You'd have to make a motion to the judge to seal the file. And actually, I'm wrong. I think they stay on pretty much forever unless you get it taken off. So you'd have to get the judge to seal it. If you have an attorney or a legal aid or legal action, they'll do that. But it means another trip to the courthouse, which if you're the working poor, isn't the easiest thing in the world. But, you probably don't even realize it. Unless you have a lawyer, went to legal aid or legal action, you're not even going to realize you could get it off your record.
And to further that comes the reporting of these terrible conditions, right? And that the underreporting of how bad some of these apartments are is because people are afraid of the retribution of getting evicted if they report on their landlord, correct?
Yeah, we detailed a couple of cases where tenants strongly felt that they were retaliated against, that basically as soon as they reported the issues to the city, to the Department of Neighborhood Services, which is what you're supposed to do, that they were evicted within weeks after that. And we found about 40 cases just looking at the data. Retaliation is very difficult to prove, and it's not something that the city enforces well, but it is illegal. And that just kind of compounds the problems because issues aren't getting reported. People are afraid to be homeless. And on top of that, like even when they do get reported, we found that enforcement really was a little bit lacking, that, you know, things would be fixed supposedly, but in a shoddy manner, and the problems would just continue.
Was the focal point of the big piece, but he is not the only property owner. He's no one. Now he's retired and he's sold off his property. So who are some of the people kind of on the watch list as far as that are continuing these practices? Like, who did he sell his properties to?
A lot of his properties went to out-of-state landlords, and there's still questions on them. There's been a big influx of out-of-state landlords buying up properties in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee area in specific, in the past few years. Some of them are pretty awful. Some of them not so bad. I don't know if any of them are really great, but, you know, not all are awful, but a lot are being sold on that. It's a good business, a profitable business, especially if you're not putting money into the properties. You're still getting $1,000 a month or so. And if you're not, and, you know, maybe you bought the place, definitely, I'm sure, you know, well under 100, probably closer to 40 or 50. It's not that hard to make money, especially if you're not going to care for it. Yeah. Now, if you can put money into the place and fix it up, you can still make money, probably just not as much. But I've known some landlords, including some of the other staters, who appear to be fixing up the places. You know, they're not, you know, AAA good, but they're definitely livable. And they're making money. So it is possible to make money and be an honest or decent landlord.
So when we come back, I want to talk more about kind of the history of how we got here, that landlords have as much power as they do. Because I know, Carrie, even just last week, you wrote an article on Barada, the number one evictor right now, basically scaring off alderman from off his back. And so there's a certain amount of power landlords have, and I think it dates back to a certain governor and how things and regulations got rolled back for landlords. And so I want to talk a little bit more about the history of that when we come back, and also what could change either legally, locally, or on the state level to strengthen tenant rights. But we are talking to Carrie Spivak and Daphne Chen, investigative reporters from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
His laugh up with things he can see, but it just cannot touch. I'm not about to argue, I'm not about to move to no other place. Now each of us has his own special gift, and you know this was meant to be true. And if you don't underestimate me, underestimate you.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand. Nothing on my skin, that's my new
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With SkyRizzy, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit SkyRizzy.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZZY to learn more.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Sunny skies this afternoon with a high of 43. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Clear skies and quiet again tonight. Lows level off around 30. Scattered rain showers likely tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 48. Overcast skies. A dusting of snow Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 39.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media. Civic Media.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are talking to Carrie Spivak and Daphne Chen, investigative reporters from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, about their report from last month, and I guess really spanning back years as far as how long they've been talking about landlords in Milwaukee and specifically predatory landlords. And I guess broadly, how is this legal? Like, how are there so many of these guys, because it seems like a lot of them are guys, that don't have any ramifications for treating people so poorly?
Well, there's a couple of things. Back in around 2010, the legislature, which at the time, stories that I did with Mary Spicuzza, had 20% or so of the legislators were in fact landlords, including Robin Voss, who is a very large landlord.
Wait, Gary, how many? What?
About 20% of all the legislators were landlords.
No conflict
of interest
there. That
was back then. I haven't checked it since then, but my guess is it's still the same. And including Robin Voss, who had 23 properties mostly in Whitewater, worth about $4 million. And that's when, in about 2010 or so, the legislature passed a series of laws that limited the powers of tenants and increased the powers of landlords. And they, among other things, they limited the amount of fines, where the cities used to be able to continually double the fines and keep inspecting. I believe they outlawed just those surprise targeted inspections that would be real popular in a college town. You would just say, we're going to do this block because, you know, that's where the kids live. But you can do lower income neighborhoods, all that type of thing. So it was kind of the landlord's legislature, and they opened, you know, there were bad landlords before that, but those actions made it tougher for the cities and for tenants to police the landlords.
And that rolls down, right? Since that's the state law, it's not even like the common council in Milwaukee can make laws to get around that.
It's very difficult. I mean, there are things that the city can do and probably should be doing better, but the state laws are really, really restrictive. I mean, one of the things to add to what Carrie was saying was that, Ashanti Hamilton, who was president of the Common Council, told us a lot of the landlords that they dealt with that were negligent, they just kind of pay the fines as part of the cost of doing business, because the state also limits how much the fine is. So when you were asking, you know, how can this be legal? A lot of that equation is just because the enforcement power is so weak.
We started off this show talking about the derailment that just happened in Ohio. And that was the exact same phrase as far as the companies that are profit seeking. It's just they bake that into their budget if they'll have to pay some fines. But it's cheaper to continue to do the unsafe things that they're doing that lead to poisonous materials spreading everywhere than to just incur the fine. And it sounds like it's wild in the same show to hear the exact same thing when we're talking about slumlords. And it's just, well, it's easier to pay the fine than to fix the building.
Absolutely.
And there's one other thing too, is tenants are afraid of being evicted. Many tenants are afraid of complaining because they, even though it's ridiculous, even though it's illegal, they're afraid that the response will be an eviction. And what's gotten very popular in recent years is the 28-day month-to-month lease, where you used to have more and more people signing year-long leases. Now, both around UWM, Marquette, and then in the poor neighborhoods, the month-to-month is real popular. So you don't even need a reason. You just say, I'm not renewing your lease. So tenants are afraid to call the DNS or authorities.
So as far as, speaking of tenants, because I know part of the report was also trying to provide resources for people who, if you are getting evicted, what to do. And so what is available for people as far as resources, organizations, groups, rights?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Milwaukee does have, they create a kind of like what's supposed to be a one-stop shop for like tenants who need help. It's called the Rental Housing Resource Center. And all the sort of legal organizations, government agencies, like nonprofits that deal with landlord-tenant issues are all kind of centralized here. So that would probably be the best stop, first stop. And there are also some more like grassroots organizations, like there's this Milwaukee Autonomous Tenants Union. They're more so kind of a grassroots volunteer organization trying to help tenants organize. So there are resources out there, and they have helped some of the tenants that we wrote about, you know, file lawsuits and things like that. But as far as rights go, it is important for tenants to know that, you know, they have the right to live in a safe, clean space. And especially, you know, if they're paying rent, that's part of the landlord's deal to uphold. And so, you know, if that's not happening, like one right that is afforded by law is rent abatement or rent withholding. And it's not something that's popularized very much by the city. But theoretically, if the landlord is not fixing things that need to be fixed, you can withhold part of your rent through and pay it instead to the city of Milwaukee. And the landlord will not get that money until the fixes are made. But this is kind of a difficult process to go through. It requires approval from the city. But I just say this to say that there are options and renters do have rights.
And so briefly, because we only have 2 minutes left, I guess, is there solutions in reporting this that may not be available right now, but as far as what could help this? Is it only from this at the state level?
I would say that that is the biggest thing. Like if you ask experts in housing, they say the gold standard is to basically allow municipalities to once again do systemic rental inspections, proactive rental inspections. But barring that, just at the city level, you know, stuff like I just mentioned, like popularizing that rent abatement program could be really helpful. I know the city of Racine is kind of kicking that off as well in their city. And also just the Common Council, they've been debating for a long time now about things like requiring landlords to have insurance, which experts feel could really help renters, because then when things like fires happen, they really get investigated and we find out if neglect is the root cause of things like that.
Absolutely. Well, I just want to take this opportunity to say thank you for the investigative reporting that you both do, and a plug to be a subscriber to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, because this is the kind of reporting that they do so well. And so this, go read this. I will link it to today's show notes because it is unbelievable reporting. Thank you so much, Carrie and Daphne, for spending time with us and breaking the story down further.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that'll be do it for the noon hour. When we come back, we will be talking about more with the elementary school that is doing a little outdoor work. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You better call if you're interested. Trailer for Rent. Trailer for Rent.
Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day $1 million advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.